Let's show our appreciation to the worship team and the choir this morning. You did a wonderful job. Thank you so much. To get started this morning, I need a volunteer. Anybody being brave? Somebody who's got a sense of direction. Noah, I saw that hand. Come on up. Leave your GPS and your phone back there. Think about resetting our moral compass. I want to give you a little visual aid to get started this morning. Start right here, Noah. And I want you to take five steps south. Yeah, right off the stage. Okay, five steps northwest. You're a good sport. I appreciate this. Four steps northeast. Okay, you can turn around. How many of you think he has got a good sense of direction? You don't have a whole lot of supporters there. Few of them that believe you in you. They're your friends, Noah. You come back up here. I appreciate you're doing really well. I wanted to pick a guy who, if they would have nailed it without the compass, would have ruined my whole introduction. So I picked a guy who I was pretty confident wouldn't get it right. Noah's my friend. You're like, how would you treat your enemies, right? I knew that's what you were thinking. I hope you know what this is. This is a compass, but I did pick somebody who I was confident would be able to read the compass. So we're going to try this again. Start right here at the podium. You all set? Okay, now go five steps south. Four steps northwest. And three steps northeast. Very good. Thanks, Noah. Yes. As you and I think about resetting our moral compass, I want you to understand that our moral, the compass that you and I need to use is the Scriptures. The Scriptures become the guide in which we reset our moral compass. But at the same time, we need to understand what true north is. We need to understand what is the goal. And so this morning, as we think and as we talk about the true north, I want you to think in terms of what is the goal of the Christian life. The compass tells us what that goal is. And here's why it's critical. We're in the middle of the six-week series, Resetting Our Moral Compass, and we've been zeroing in on the fact that there's gray areas. Yes, there's issues that are black and white, clearly spelled out, right and wrong in the Scriptures. But yet you and I make moral choices every single day, multiple moral choices every single day, in terms where we can't necessarily go to a specific verse or a chapter and it spells out exactly what we should do in one of those situations. So if you haven't been here for the first 2 weeks, let me give you an example of a gray area. It's what we watch on TV. All of us make moral choices every day. All of us, at least most of us, I assume, have TVs. And if we have a TV, we make moral choices. We make choices about what is appropriate, what is pleasing to God, and what we think would not be pleasing to God in terms of what we watch on TV. But you cannot go to a verse in the Bible that says, this program, this show, this movie is okay, and this TV program or show is not okay. It's what we're referring to as the gray. So in the context of the gray, it's not only what we watch, it's places that we go, it's people that we're with. Also, an individual came up to me between services and said, Jeff, another significant gray area is how we spend our money, right? That is a moral choice. We are stewards of what God has entrusted to us, and every time we make a choice in regards to spending our money, we're making a moral choice. And we can't go to a specific verse in the Bible that says, spend it here, don't spend it here. Obviously, there's lots of biblical principles that speak to all of those areas. But again this morning, how do we navigate through the gray? How do we reset our moral compass? How do we know what the goal is for the Christian life? In order to answer that question, take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. If you're familiar with Ephesians, you recognize that the first two chapters, Paul does a great job of spelling out our spiritual blessings in Christ, spelling out our identity in Christ. And then in chapters 4, 5, and 6, he talks about the lifestyle that we need to live based on our new identity in Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Keep in mind, we are answering the question, what is true north? Okay, right there is north. What is true north for a Christian? And when I use that phrase, true north, I'm referring to what is the goal that God has for each of our lives. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Paul says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. To live a life worthy of the calling you have received. What is the calling that you and I have received? What is he referring to? The calling that you and I have received. He's pointing back to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. We can pull that up on the screen. It says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons or daughters through Christ Jesus. Our calling is to be the children of God, to represent God on this earth. He is our heavenly Father. We are part of his family. We represent him. Christ was sent into the world to represent God the Father. He was here for 33 years after his death and resurrection. He ascended into heaven, and we have been left behind as God's spiritual children, all of us who have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, have been adopted into God's family. We need to live a life worthy of that calling, the calling of being part of God's family. Austin and Adam down here, or Ashley, my children, because their last name is Burkholder. When they go to school, when they're at camp, when they're in the ball field or in the gym or with their friends, they are representing Jeff and Michelle. They're part of our family. They represent the Burkholder family. In the very same way, Paul was reminding the believers of Ephesus, you have been adopted into God's family. You need to live a life worthy of your calling, and your calling is to live as my children, to represent me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 says this. Here again, you don't need to turn there. I think we can pull it up on the screen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 speaks to the fact that we are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Isn't that powerful? As you get up every morning, as you go to work, as you're with your neighbors and your friends, as you go to school, think about that. I am Christ's ambassadors. I represent my heavenly Father. I represent the King of Kings. So what is the proper goal for us as Christians? To live a life worthy of our calling as God's children. Let's continue to go through Ephesians chapter 4. I'm not going to take the time to read verses 2 through 16, but Paul talks about living your life worthy of your calling in the context of your brothers and sisters in Christ, in the context of the body of Christ. And then he makes a shift in verse 17. Follow along as we read verses 17 through 24. He says, "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do." No longer live as the Gentiles do. He's referring to those non-believers, those pagans, those who have not put their faith in Christ. He says, you must no longer live as the non-believers in the futility of their thinking. Look at how he describes them. Verse 18, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. Verse 20, you, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Let me just summarize what we just read. Paul begins in the context of living a life worthy of your calling by saying you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, as the non-believers do. And how does he describe them? They had hardened hearts. They gave in to their sensual, fleshly desires. They were living for themselves. They were living for what they wanted. They were living for the desires that were within them. But he says in verse 20, you, however, did not come to Christ that way. And then he says in verse 22, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. In other words, that was you at one point. You need to put aside your old self. You need to lay aside living for yourself and put on your new self. And look at how he describes that. To be made new in the attitude of your ministry and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So what is the goal for every single believer? Number two, to put on the new self, because you and I were created to be like God in true righteousness and in holiness. Well, Paul is saying, here again, in the context of Ephesians, because of your new life, because of your new Lord and Master, because of your new nature, your new identity in Christ, because of your new power, you are called to live a new lifestyle. A new lifestyle that is reflecting and worthy of your calling. Let's continue on as we work our way through this passage in Romans chapter 4, or Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 25 through chapter 5, verse 1. Paul goes into great details what this old life was and what the new life should be. Let's see what he says. Therefore, referring back to the need to live a life worthy of your calling, to put on the new self, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is for helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. As we think about that, some things in Scripture are black and white. Some things in Scripture are gray. Right now, we're walking through a very black and white Scripture. Look at what the standard is. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, all rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. and now the new self. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Verse 1, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. Again, I'm not going to zero in on that list, but I want you to see the big picture. I want you to see what true north is for every Christian. True north is stated clearly in verse 1, be imitators of God. We are to mimic God, to imitate Him. We are to imitate His characteristics, His values. God's purpose in salvation is to redeem and to restore individuals from their sin and conform them into the image of His Son. We are to imitate Him. So I was looking at a commentary this week. I came across this. When Alexander the Great discovered a coward in his army who was also named Alexander, he told the soldier to renounce your cowardice or to renounce your name. Isn't that good? Think about that as you and I being part of God's family. I had a young lady share a story with me this week in terms of the snow and being out in the snow and in a vehicle. And without going into all the details, she was in a situation where there was a man who was coming by in a pickup truck, and she needed his help. And she was clear that she needed his help. And guess what he did? He drove on by. And what do you think was on the back of his truck? A fish. Okay? The fish is a symbolism reflecting that I am a Christ follower. And without even knowing what was in my notes, she said, I wanted to go up and say to that individual, either live like God or get rid of the fish. Right? You and I might not have a fish in our vehicle, but people know that we profess faith in Christ. And Paul was saying, live from that new identity. Imitate God. True north. If you think about how are we going to navigate through the gray, we need to understand what the goal is. The goal is to imitate God, to reflect Him. Let's continue on in the text. Verses 3 through verse 7. But among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ than of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with him. The phrase that summarizes this passage is there in verse 3, because these are improper for God's holy people. The goal for every believer is to live holy lives. Holy is perfection. That's the standard. Take a look at what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. He says, as obedient children, here again, coming back to our calling. Our calling is to be, we are the children of God. We've been adopted into His family. So we need to live from that identity, live from that reality as obedient children. Do not conform to the evil desires that you had when you lived in ignorance. In other words, put off the old life. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Not just when you're in church, not just sometimes, not just when you're with your Christian friends. Be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. That's what true north is. That is the standard. As you think about navigating through the gray, we need to understand what the goal is. That's true north. Let's continue to read through Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. live as children of the light. I love that imagery. Live as children of the light. You were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. The gospel says that Christ was the blank of the world. Was what? The light of the world. Christ came to be the light of the world. In the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the sinfulness, in the midst of the frailty, the chaos, the darkness of this world, Christ came in as light. He has ascended into heaven. You and I are now called to be children of light. In the midst of the darkness in our community and those who don't know Christ, we are to shine brightly. We are to live as children of the light. How does he define that? Verses 9 and 10. He says, "For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, in righteousness, and truth." How's that for a description of the light? How's that for true north? To live in all goodness, in all righteousness, and in truth. If you live from that reality, if you live a righteous life, if you reflect goodness and truth, will you shine? Will you be noticeable? Absolutely. And then he says this, verse 10, "And find out what pleases the Lord." It's getting to the motives of our heart as you live your life. In order to live as children of the light, your goal, the motive of your heart, is to please the Lord. In contrast to what? Pleasing yourself. True north is living as children of light who are focused on pleasing the Lord. Let me look at some more verses that capture what does it mean to live as children of the light. Let's move past Romans 8:29. Sorry. And we want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10:31. "So whether you eat or drink or whether you do, do it all for the glory of God." Doesn't that capture what Paul is saying here to the believers of Ephesus? Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. There is nothing in your life that cannot be worshipped. There is nothing in your life that needs to be not sacred. All that you do can be worship. If you're doing it to glorify God, if you're doing it to please Him. And then the Colossians passage. "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." So as we think about what is the proper goal for believers, when you and I go into this week, what is the goal for our lives this week? The five that I gave you are not five specific goals. They're just five different ways of saying the very same thing. Paul is calling the believers to live holy and righteous lives. And what I want you to do is even just take a moment right now and finish letter B, based on Ephesians 4 and 5, based on the passages that we just walked through. What is the goal for you? How would you put this in words that fit and words that understand and words that relate to you specifically? I didn't want to just give you a fill in the blank. I want you to look at what is said in Ephesians chapter 4, in Ephesians chapter 5, and how would you summarize what God is calling us to? How would you summarize from the compass what is true north? You might just want to choose one of those five. You may want to try to summarize them. Maybe you can just do it right now. Maybe you want to give it some more thought. Maybe you want to take time today to continue to read through Ephesians chapter 4 and Ephesians chapter 5 and make a summary statement. But I think it's important for us to put down in writing, what is the goal? But as you and I put down the goal, for me, I capture it to live a holy and righteous life. And that's how you're going to continue to hear me speak through the service. That, in my mind, is how I summarize the goal, to live a holy and righteous life. But there's two things that I want us to understand before we go on to point number two. You and I, let me state the obvious, are not going to be able to live a holy and righteous life. It continually points us back to the cross. It continues to point us back to our need for Jesus. It continues to point us back for the gospel. a lot of times, what I'll tend to do is like, oh, I can't live a holy and righteous life, and so I'll sort of lower the bar. That way I can feel better about myself. No, the bar is set. True north is set. True north never changes. It's to live a holy and righteous life. But as I understand how far I fall short of a holy and righteous life, it's a reminder that I need Jesus. I need the gospel. I need the cross. It's a reminder of how much forgiveness is available in Christ Jesus. So don't lower the standard. True north is always true north. If you're going to navigate through the gray, you need to understand what the goal is. And secondly, I want you to understand that it's not simply rules absent a relationship with the living God. I want to read a paragraph from an email I received after week one from this series. This young man writes, I grew up in a very legalistic body of believers. If you're not familiar with that term, in other words, I grew up in a church where there was lots of rules. It was so much form over substance that I ended up not truly understanding the reason for me doing what I was doing in my life. I knew the Bible extensively, understood its rules, and knew what I should and should not be doing. But I lacked the understanding as to why I was doing what I was doing in my life. And I think this is the significant statement. I had no personal relationship with Jesus. I simply had a set of rules to follow. And as I spell out what true north is in the scriptures, I want you to understand that it's in the context of loving God with all of your heart, soul, and mind. It's in the context of having a relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ. And here's what he says. What a joy to finally understand and comprehend the reason for why I do what I do in my life today. There is a purpose. Knowing that I serve Him because He gave everything for me. What were once rules became ways I could show my gratitude to God for my freedom, for my forgiveness, for the great things He has done in my life. Do you see the difference between somebody who simply says, okay, I need to live a holy life void of a relationship with the living God, and then the individual who says, out of my relationship with God, out of what Christ has done for me, I desire to honor Him, please Him, live a life worthy of my calling, to live out my true identity in Christ as a child of God. Let me just take a moment. What happens if we don't have the right goal? What happens if we don't have a goal? We just sort of get up in the morning, we go into our week, and my goal is to survive. My goal is to make it through the day, make it through the week. We have goals. They might not be conscious goals. They might not be conscious decisions. Maybe your goal is just to live a comfortable life, to take it easy today. Or maybe it is a conscious goal. Maybe my goal is to be successful. Maybe my goal is to have people like me. It's very important to think about what is the goal? What is that true north in our lives? Let's move on to number two. There's two things you need to remember. Number one is, what is the goal? And look with me now at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. He says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Verse 16. Make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. There's an awful lot there. Be careful how you live, not as the unwise, but as the wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. In the context of our culture, in the context of the time and place in which we live, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Understand what the Lord's will is in terms of the gray areas. I don't want you to assume that as we've been going through this series and talking about the gray areas, that God doesn't care how we live or what we choose in the gray area. Absolutely, God cares about the choices that we make in terms of the gray area. But he may lead one individual based on their background and based on their struggles a certain way, and he may lead somebody else a certain way. But God has a desired will for you. So how do we know what that is? Here's the proper question that we need to ask. Ask the proper question, and it's this. Is this wise? What is the question that we normally ask? Particularly as you think about terms of the gray areas. In other words, can I go see such and such movie? Well, let me pull out my Bible. And does it say anywhere in there that I can't go see that movie? Nope. Ah, that makes it easy. I guess I can go do that. The question that we normally ask is it a sin? Wrong question to be asking. The question that we need to live in order to understand what God's will is, in order to live a holy and righteous life in the context of our culture, is this wise? Now let me connect to you the goal and the question. Let me show you what this looks like. In light of my goal to live a holy and righteous life, is it wise for me to go see an R-rated movie? In light of my goal to live a holy and righteous life, is it wise for me to go out with friends to a club? In light of my goal to live a holy and righteous life, is it wise to go on a date with a non-believer? To play poker with the guys? Purchase that swimsuit that I've had my eye on? Is it wise to go away for the weekend with my fiancé? And you can go on and on and on and on. But I want you to see what the goal is, to bring honor and glory to God, to please Him, to live a holy and righteous life. In light of that goal, the question we need to ask is this wise? Now, how do you and I normally want to live? We want to find out where sin is, right? And then we want to get as close to that line as we possibly can. I was a youth pastor for many years, and I would do a series on a rotating basis, Love, Sex, and Dating. And week one in that series, I would hand out a blank sheet of paper, a 3x5 card, and I would tell the junior high students, write out any question or questions that you have in terms of this series. I said, I want to be able to know what you're thinking, the questions that you have, and throughout the series, we will address those questions and issues from the scriptures. Inevitably, every year, we would have the same question show up multiple times because they were believers, many of them, and they wanted to obey and follow God. And the question always was, how far is too far, right? How close can I get to sinning without really sinning? And we might say, well, yeah, there's junior hires. But guess what? I often find myself having that same kind of mentality. Not like how pure of a life I can live, not how holy of a life I can live. That's the question I ought to be asking. But no, my question is, how can I do what I want to do without sinning? How can I get so close to the edge? Here's the problem. When we live on the edge, where do we eventually end up? We eventually end up crossing that line. It's not wise to live on the edge. So let's think about this week, even in my own life. I was thinking, well, why is it that I like living on the edge so much? And I realized I'm deceived by the deception of sin. In my life, as I look at temptations, I honestly think, oh, that's what I want. That's what I need. That's what will make me happy. When reality, what is sin? Sin is destructive. Always at its core, sin destroys our inner emotional well-being. Did you ever sin and have your inner peace and well-being be destroyed? Sin destroys our vertical relationship with God. Every time you sin, it destroys your relationship with God. That's why Christ had to come. Sin destroys human relationships. You and I need to be reminded of the destructive nature of sin, the reality of sin. as we think about navigating through the gray areas of our lives. So here again this morning, two things to walk away with. If we're going to reset our moral compass, we need to understand what the compass is. And here's the two things. What's the goal and what's the question? What's the goal and what's the question? Let's take a moment to pray. Just give you a moment to quiet your heart as you think about the choices and the gray areas in your life. How does understanding God's goal and how does asking the proper question relate to the multiple moral choices that you make each and every day? As you think about that, Craig is going to come out and he's going to lead us in a few songs.
Why don't we stand as we sing, Hey Dave, it'd be the second of the two songs that we were going to do this morning. A song called I Give You My Heart. It says, this is my desire to honor you. Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me.
Doesn't that song capture true north? Let me read it again. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. This is my desire to honor you. Lord, with all of my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. That's true north. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the compass that you've given to help us to navigate through the multiple moral choices that we need to make every day. Lord, and I pray that you would help us to grow in our appreciation of your Son Jesus and what was accomplished on the cross. Lord, as we understand what the standard that you've called us to, Lord, I pray that as we grow in our love for Christ and for the gospel and for what was accomplished at the cross, Lord, that our heart's desire, our heart's motivation would be to honor you, to obey you, to live holy and righteous life. That we would reflect our identity as your children, that we would shine as bright lights. That people would be drawn to you through the righteousness and the holiness, through the love that they see flowing in and through us. Lord, we're thankful for your Holy Spirit. We're thankful that you have given us everything that we need to live for life and for godliness. Lord, that is our heart's desire as we go into this week. Thank you that you are going with us and have made a way. In Jesus' name, amen.